This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
NFL teams and agents can talk and can finalize deals. They just can't sign them yet. So that starts happening at noon tomorrow. But all kinds of activity going on with the NFL to talk about it and to maybe get some clarity about the Giants and Jets and quarterbacks. We bring in Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. Ryan, welcome to the program.
What's up, Lori? How you doing?
I'm doing well. So let's start off with obviously the quarterback position. And how did the Seahawks trading Geno Smith to the Raiders over the weekend, how did that change this game of quarterback roulette that we're seeing with free agents and who's going where and all of that?
Good question, because that's what really started the madness of this weekend. How did it open up a chair, a premium chair? It opened up a 10-7 team. Now, look, they've torn down their team now in the last couple of days. They traded DK Metcalf and they released
Tyler Lockett. Yeah.
So they've torn down their team a little bit. But it opened up a spot with a team that has money, a team that's historically competitive, and it made Sam Darnold the favorite to go there when everybody was like, I don't know, where's Sam Darnold going to land? It doesn't look like Sam Darnold has a market that a 27-year-old Pro Bowl quarterback should have. It instantly you penciled him in there because their offensive coordinator is Clint Kubiak, who was the passing game coordinator for the 49ers when Sam was the backup there. And what you hear around the league is they really hit it off. So you put him there, which took away Sam from going to the Vikings, which I never believed was something he would want to do, go to a spot where they're trying to bench you for their rookie, J.J. McCarthy. And then that made it seem like, oh, well, Daniel Jones could re-sign there, or Aaron Rodgers could go there, and because they need an insurance policy against J.J. McCarthy either not being healthy after two knee surgeries or being bad. For a 14-3 team, they can't just stick a bad rookie in. So that made the Vikings then start looking around for other options. And the Vikings are obviously a much more desirable spot right now than the Giants. So it squeezed out some of the Giants' options, which I don't believe Darnold is ever a serious option, but Rodgers certainly is. And if Rodgers is there, I can only tell you the irony of Daniel Jones's decision affecting the Giants' quarterback decision in 2025.
So let's then take that apart. And so for people, yes, who in terms of following all this, Daniel Jones, of course, signed with the Vikings during the season. And the thought process was that if Jones decides to stay with the Vikings and be their bridge backup veteran presence quarterback with McCarthy, then they're set. And they wouldn't look for somebody else. Now, what are you hearing with Daniel Jones? I saw something potentially with maybe connecting Daniel Jones and the Colts. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, so I did a lot of work on Daniel Jones at the NFL Combine when I was there. Before anybody else was talking about Daniel Jones, I wrote a story on Daniel Jones' future on the Wednesday of the NFL Combine, and that was the buzz, basically. It was return to the – his future depended on Sam Darnold. If Darnold stayed, then Jones was probably going to go. And if Darnold left, then Jones was probably going to stay. So what it really is going to come down to for Daniel Jones is, does he want the best chance to start right now? That's probably the Colts. He can beat out Anthony Richardson. Not very good. Or does he want the best chance to have success? He already knows the Vikings playbook from the 6 or 8 weeks he was there last year. He could, obviously, you see what Kevin O'Connell did with Sam Darnold. He's a bit of a magician. Does he get Daniel Jones into that spot where he turns Jones' career around and Jones can cash in next year? The thing to remember for Daniel Jones is he's only getting one more shot to start. If he fails, if he goes to the Colts and he flops, then he's on the, you know, Blaine Gabbert,
Carson Wentz. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a career backup. So choose your next spot wisely. And that's why I think he might end up staying with the Vikings.
Okay, so we're 50-50 on Daniel Jones, but maybe a lean towards...
Maybe 60-40 on the Vikings.
60-40, he stays with the Vikings. That would prevent Aaron Rodgers from, like, on some level, you know, we had heard that, obviously, Rodgers and Favre, there was some friction early on there, but it looks like Rodgers, if he went to the Vikings, he would be on the absolute... Brett Favre pathway. You go to the Jets and then you head on to the Vikings after a long career, Hall of Fame career with the Packers. If Rodgers cannot end up with the Vikings, we look around the league and by my count, if I include a team like the Colts, there are, and I include a team like the Vikings for whatever that veteran spot is, I think I counted 8 teams with quarterback opportunities. And so now let's take a look and say Jets and Giants, and where do those opportunities stand? And for the Jets, I mean, for the Giants, we'll start there. If you're Aaron Rodgers, if the Vikings are not a possibility, where are the Giants in terms of some of those other possibilities that could be realistic for Aaron Rodgers?
I think Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson have the same first two likely destinations, and that's the Steelers and the Giants, two organizations that obviously are well tied together. So I think one of them could end up there, one of them could end up with the other team, which is which, I don't know. I think you got to put Justin Fields into that mix too, because what you hear, and this isn't my reporting, this is other people's reporting, is that Justin Fields is probably the Steelers' preference, which I think is weird. That signals that they played the wrong guy at the end of last year if they're signing their backup quarterback. But then this is true. This is part of my reporting, is that the Jets would be interested in Justin Fields. So then if the Jets poach Justin Fields, then the Steelers are into the Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers train. The Giants are into that train too. I think for Rodgers, it's really about he wants to write a better, happier ending to his story. He cares very much about his story, his image, his legacy. He does not like that it ended on the sour note with the Jets. I can't see a world where he's like, you know how I'm going to write a better ending? I'm going to go to the 3-14 Giants. So I just can't see it. I don't think he wants to retire. I think if Aaron Rodgers had a list, I think it would be play almost anywhere else, maybe not the Titans, play almost anywhere else, option one, option two, the Giants, then option three, retire. Like, I think the Giants are basically, the only thing they're ahead of is not playing. And then Russell Wilson, so that would include the Steelers for Aaron Rodgers as a preference. And then Russell Wilson would, I think, be the Giants' fallback option. And they got to hope, basically, that the Justin Fields goes to the Steelers and not to the Jets.
Right. As I looked at those 8 possible destinations, I agree that the Titans were the only ones I could come up with where I would say, I think, you know, you can make the case that the Giants are a better opportunity. You know, you want to say, you know, Giants and Titans, those two are both bad slots. I guess you can also say, sorry, I should also throw the Browns in there for reasons of just the whole contract situation and ownership and all the stuff. I mean, they have Kevin Stefanski, who's a good coach and all of that, but still, I don't know, that one's a bit of a mess too. I can make the argument that those situations of why a veteran quarterback might prefer those spots. I mean, their coaches and general managers are not on the hot seat in the same way that the Giants are. So I can argue the Giants' situation worse, but I can also argue those worse. That would be about it, though. The Giants are, if not the worst destination right now for a veteran quarterback, they have to be in the top three, right?
Oh, yeah, and the problem with the two you named is they have the first two picks in the draft. So, right. Like, their fallback option if they strike out in the veteran quarterback market is to pick Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
Like, you could say the Giants are maybe a more desirable spot than those two teams, but the problem is those two teams have a fallback plan that the Giants don't have. So they might be more desirable, Lori, but the Giants are in the worst spot because
right.
They don't have the fallback option that those teams have, not to mention – I know everybody wants to put Abdul Carter on the Titans, especially after they released Harold Landry yesterday or 2 days ago, but I'm not sold that the Titans aren't going to pick Cam Ward. I think push comes to shove, they probably are. And then the Browns, the one guy we haven't mentioned because he's still on the Falcons, everybody in the league thinks that if Kirk Cousins get released, no guarantee, it's probably going to be an ownership decision. The GM probably wouldn't want to release him. If Arthur Blank, who's known to be a player-friendly owner, if he gives Kirk Cousins his way and releases him to go start, everybody in the league thinks he'll go to the Browns because of his relationship with Stefanski. So that would at least take that pressure off of the Giants of, oh my gosh, the quarterbacks might be the first two picks.
Yeah, although if you're the Browns and you really wanted to remake your situation, you know, Cousins at this point has the contracts and all the money in the world, and you have the leverage there, you could sign Cousins for a year and still draft Shedeur Sanders and have that be your room. And
you could, but I'm going to think that you're going to tell 37-year-old Kirk Cousins and Myles Garrett, who you just paid, you know, $40 million a year to, that you're in a win now situation, and using that number two pick on a guy who's a backup quarterback isn't a win now move. Not to mention Kirk Cousins is going to want to make sure, hey, you're not going to put me in a Michael Penix situation, right?
Right.
So I would think that if Cousins signs there, it's with assurances. I would think Myles Garrett probably got some assurances that they're not going full scale rebuild. I would think that if he signs there, yes, you're right, they could do that. They'd have two very unhappy superstars, I think. I think you would be looking at a win-now pick like Carter or Hunter.
I want to do, in terms of the Giants situation, I wanted to read you something, and you tell me if I'm reading too much into this. Usually at the Combine, I find that most of the GMs and coaches, when asked about something like their quarterback situation, they usually give you absolutely nothing, and they default to something like, we're exploring all avenues, and, you know, and something like that, and that's about it. With Joe Shane, while he did say that, he also went on to say, even if you, here's a quote, and you were there, so you heard this, even if you get a young quarterback, you'd like to have a vet in the room with them to show them the ropes and how to be a pro. We're looking at all different avenues. Is this guy, meaning the vet, going to be good for a young quarterback? Is this guy a starter? Or is this guy a starter? Can we get a guy in the draft? And he goes on, blah, blah, blah. But we're looking at the vets, blah, blah, blah. And he goes on to say somebody who can show a guy how to be a pro. And I guess where that surprised me is, all you have to do to answer that question is to say, we are looking at trades, free agency, and the draft. We're exploring all avenues. That's it. Say no more. But here, if I'm a veteran quarterback, whether I'm Aaron Rodgers or I'm Justin Fields or I'm Russell Wilson or whoever it is, veteran quarterback, Do I want to go to a team where their GM is on record as saying that we want someone to show the ropes to a young player? Like, isn't that pretty much saying that, yeah, we're going to, you know, come week nine or something, you're getting benched and we're putting the rookie in?
No, I do think you're reading too much into it. I think the most of the guys who are in free agency are late 30s, 40s guys. They know that. He didn't say you're going to have to show Shador or Cam Ward the ropes. Like, you know, that doesn't mean, I think Joe Shane would tell you, that doesn't mean that one of the Giants are drafting a quarterback, right? So we know that. This is happening. It's a question of, like, are they drafting one at 3 or are they drafting one at 34 or are they drafting one at 73? Like, if you sign Aaron Rodgers and you draft Cam Ward, that's a very different situation than if you sign Aaron Rodgers and you draft Quinn Ewers. Like, I'm sure Joe Shane would fall back on that. Like, oh, he might have to show some third-round pick the ropes or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I tried to, when I was there, you're right, I was there, I heard that quote, and I tried to lock Joe Shane in on who, like, hey, Joe, a 27-year-old veteran free agent quarterback, a.k.a. Sam Darnold, is a lot different than a 37-year-old veteran quarterback. Which kind of guy are we talking about? And that's when he said, we're going to sign the guy who gives us the best chance to win games in 2025. And it was like, okay, there you go. That's it. The priority is now. And I think that's why it's Aaron Rodgers we're talking about, not Jacoby Brissett or Jameis Winston.
What are fair expectations for the Giants if it wasn't Aaron Rodgers? I think of the Jets and Jets fans, and at least before the Achilles, the expectations were very high. And even with the Jets roster last year, it was highly disappointing, but there were thoughts, oh, maybe playoffs. If you're the Giants, and I'll talk about this later in my show, but to me it feels like you have to go in, if you're gonna go with Aaron Rodgers, you have to go in with the right expectations, which this Giants team, even with Aaron Rodgers, is still the least talented. They will go into next season as the least talented team in the in their own division. And so this is not a playoff team. So, in terms of signing Aaron Rodgers, I guess, in your mind, is this a better fit right now for the Giants versus the Jets?
No, it was a much better fit for the Jets a couple of years ago. It would be a much better fit for the Jets right now to have kept him. I'm going to answer this question two ways. One, people I talk to in the building believe the Giants are a good quarterback away from competing for the playoffs. That's what they believe. They are happy to pin lots of last year's failures on Daniel Jones. So they think the roster is better than it looked. My answer is I totally agree with you. I think they're the least talented team in the NFC East. I think they're a long way off. I think they're ceiling with Aaron Rodgers on the current roster tonight at whatever it is, 10 p.m., is probably like 6 wins. Now, that before you tell me that they're going to spend, break the bank and pay DJ Reed and Will Fries and what else are they, some wide receiver too, if you tell me they're going to spend $140 million tomorrow, then, and it, on top of Aaron Rodgers, so like $200 million, then sure, they could be an 8-win team, 9-win team that competes for the playoffs. Sure. But the current roster with Aaron Rodgers is probably like a 6.
All right, so you got to a second part of the Giants question. Then with the, call it legal tampering or whatever, starting tomorrow at noon when agents and teams can have conversations and we're to suddenly see a flurry. By the way, agents and teams are going to start to have conversations. I mean, suddenly at 12:30, they're going to announce a whole bunch of deals. So how is this the legal tampering period when obviously all these deals are on the cusp of being done?
Yeah, it's the biggest joke there is. I mean, the legal tampering period started 2 weeks ago at the NFL Combine. Mm-hmm. You can get in trouble. I mean, the Giants and almost got the Eagles in trouble last year with Saquon Barkley. You can get into the Falcons got in trouble for Kirk Cousins. I think they might have lost the draft pick mm-hmm. for tampering with Kirk Cousins. So, like, you can get in trouble if you're not careful about it. But obviously, it's like the biggest well-known accepted force in the world is that all these conversations have been going on for weeks. So, yes, you'll see. I think DeAndre Swift signed at like 12-11 last year. Like, that deal did not come together in 11 minutes.
So what rumors, if any, are you hearing about for the Giants? And what would be, you mentioned DJ Reed, obviously cornerback, a number one corner, and there are some good ones out there, whether that's Reed, whether that's Tre'Davious Ward, Byron Murphy. There's some good corners out there, but what do you expect or what are you hearing for not quarterback, but other positions for the Giants?
I'll say this, I haven't been over.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm never really optimistic on the Giants, but you keep having me on. So I would say the corner, their two of their big needs match up well with the draft and free agency. So I think the number one spend they'll make in free agency is quarterback, because just because of the price of a quarterback. Number two, I think, will be cornerback. Mm-hmm. And it's the deepest position in free agency. I think that'll be their second biggest spend. I don't think they'll get the top guy, which is DJ Reed, mm-hmm. although they do have their safeties coach, their defensive backs coach, Marquand Manuel, was the Jets' safeties coach the last couple of years, so they have a pipeline there. I think they'll probably end up with a mid guy. I think I picked Byron Murphy to them today mm-hmm. in today's New York Post. Could be Paulson Adebo, could be somebody like that, the mm-hmm. fourth, fifth best corner. Yep. Defensive tackle is a huge need. Well, the draft is ridiculously yeah. rich with defensive tackles, so they can probably wait yep. on that. So I think their third biggest outlay in free agency this week will be guard. The top guy is Will Fries, mm-hmm. who's a New Jersey guy who's married to a New Jersey girl. So maybe they would want to come back home, but he'll have a huge market, I think. Guard is going to be an overpaid market because there's, unlike cornerback, there's not a lot of them. So they'll probably end up with like the third, fourth, fifth best guard there. But if you ask me come Wednesday, what have the Giants spent on? I would say they've spent big on quarterback, cornerback, and guard.
All right. Now, talking to Ryan Dunleavy about NFL free agency, in terms of the Jets, and you mentioned before that the Giants are talking about win now, but Aaron Glenn certainly said that the Jets want to win now. How do they kind of explain wanting to be in win now mode and moving on from Aaron Rodgers? Is it win now, but we're still looking at this as year one of a building operation?
Yeah, I think that's just something he might be saying. Like, it's a hard thing to go out as a new coach, especially somebody who's as fiery as him, and be like, yeah, well, you know, we're going to, this year's about laying the groundwork and whatnot. Yeah. Like, I get it. He's saying win now, but like, the Jets' actions so far don't say win now. So I get it. He's trying to fire up the fan base, get them excited. And truthfully, I don't know. I think the number one thing I've learned from the Joe Shane, Brian Daboll era is that it's like, not that smart to win right yep. away, because it screwed up their whole timeline. It screwed up their process. It screwed up the fan expectations for the team. Like, I don't think winning 9 games your first year is a great idea. Like, so I'm sure Glenn isn't naive to that. I think he's just saying win now. I think what he means more is compete now. Like, I think he's trying to say, like, oh, we're not in a full-scale rebuild. And they're not. They have good players. Like, their focus needs to be on locking up Garrett Wilson, locking up
Sauce Gardner. Yeah.
Making sure Jermaine Johnson is healthy. That's where their focus needs to be, adding talent. And I kind of like the idea of, hey, we have a good roster. Let's build it up around it, and then let's find our quarterback. They remember, the Lions didn't think they had their quarterback in the future in Jared Goff. They were drafting and building up a good roster, and then it just so happened that Goff turned his whole career around. But they were focused on other things before quarterback, and I think that's what Glenn's trying to do.
If Justin Fields ends up staying with the Steelers, who else would be an option for the Jets? They already do have Tyrod Taylor. He's a solid veteran. He is injury prone, but a solid veteran. I mean, I don't know. I'll throw out a name to you. Marcus Mariota seems to me to be a guy that nobody talks about, but you know, there's sort of that pedigree there for maybe somebody who could, you know, if Coach Wright have a second chapter.
Yeah, I would think if the Jets don't get Justin Fields, and even to a degree if they do get Justin Fields, their plan is a quarterback competition, like a true, almost like a college style, like even footing, go to summer camp and see who wins the job kind of thing. And obviously Fields, if they give him a decent contract, would be the favorite. But if not, somebody else, like if it's Marcus Mariota, if it's, I'll give you two more names, Carson Wentz, I think is a possibility for the Jets. And I think Jacoby Brissett would be a possibility. And I think those would all be even footing competitions. May the best man win kind of thing. And, I think Tyrod Taylor is pretty good. Honestly, I think he's one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the league. The problem is, like you said, he has a hard time staying healthy.
And then finally with the Jets, we saw that they are retaining Jamie and Sherwood. In terms of their needs and what you're expecting, we may hear about tomorrow. I guess I'll start with, in terms of keeping one of their own, what are you hearing about Morgan Moses? Is a deal going to get done for their right tackle?
I haven't, honestly, I'm not going to lie, Laura, I haven't heard much about it. I think I saw a tweet somewhere that he was open to resigning, or that he's healthy now. I don't know much about it. Where I think they will go, just from talking to agents and people around the league, is I think they will go right to the secondary. I think one of their big spends Monday or Tuesday will be on a cornerback or a safety or both to shore up that, because they're going to lose DJ Reed. The names you hear are Carlton Davis, obviously very tied to Aaron Glenn from the Lions.
Yep.
And I'm going to butcher this name, and I apologize. Like Talafua Fuanga, the 49ers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are the two names you hear a lot attached to the Jets. So I think that's a spot. Obviously, the Jets need some defensive line reinforcements, but I think they're going to start with the secondary. And I think those are the two guys you could see. You could see Carlton Davis on the Jets by, you know, 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Last one. Had a Jet fan on social ask me, do you expect the Jets to trade up for a quarterback?
I do not. Mm-hmm. For a couple reasons. One, I don't think any of those teams will want to trade down to 7. I think if you're in the 1 or 2 or 3, I guess, if you're the Giants, 4, I think if you're in those spots, you're trying to get Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, or even Mason Graham, who's probably a notch below, but still a premier prospect. So I don't think any of those teams are going to want to trade down to 7. And I don't think that, like I said a minute or two ago, I don't think the Jets' plan is to get the quarterback, put him in a bad spot, and waste a year or two. I think the Jets' plan is to build up the team and then find the quarterback. So I think the Jets will be looking to get a good player at 7. Maybe that's where they go to fill the receiver spots. I mean, their receivers are assuming they release Alan Lazard, which everybody assumes will happen, their receivers are pretty dreadful behind Garrett Wilson. So I would think seven is a spot where they go for a receiver. And when I say receiver, that could be tight end too. I would think they're sitting pretty at seven for either Tyler Warren or Tetaroya McMillan or Matthew Golden.
All right. Great stuff, as always, from Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. Ryan, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.